Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yesterday in Chicago, the Ukrainian Prime Minister was in town, and he mentioned that they're grateful to the Illinois National Guard. They were deployed to Poland to assist Ukrainian families seeking refuge. And also, the Illinois State Police has sent thousands of pieces of protective equipment to Ukraine, including body armor, ballistic face shields, and ballistic helmets. Sounds like that is much needed today. Let's find out what's going on. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And good afternoon to you there, Joe.
Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. It's calm here in the capital, but just about 2 hours northeast of Kyiv City in the city of Chernihiv, the Russians sent three missiles this morning in the center of the city. There are fatalities and wounded people. And before we get to that, you know, last night was my first night in Kyiv in several weeks. I'd been in Kharkiv. That city 30 miles from Russia for a couple weeks. And I love Kharkiv. It's such a place of inspiration and optimism and rebuilding, even amid, the ongoing hell. But you realize it when you're away from there. Like last night, I had a full night of sleep with no missiles, no drones, no air raid alarms. And you realize the underlying stress from just being in a place like Kharkiv. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, sort of further testimony to the spirit of the people there, because everyone is living through these hellish nights. That's when Russia tends to attack. And even like a sort of a micro description of what life is like in Kharkiv, these little things. So people, every night before you go to bed in Kharkiv, people tend to close their curtains and they fasten them shut. And now this is not going to protect you if there's a direct hit upon a building. It's not going to prevent a missile from ripping off your wall. But if a missile hits nearby and the glass shatters, this will prevent you from waking up with glass all over your face. And this is a nightly ritual for people in Kharkiv. And, you know, even on spring days when you want to have the windows open, they keep these curtains closed for a little bit of hope, a little bit of extra protection. And I was talking with a woman I know there who described she was in a missile attack many months ago. And she was protected by a pillar, but she described with the shockwave and all the glass shards that were flying, and people were screaming, you know, covered in glass and blood. And so, you know, in Kharkiv, you're always imagining you might wake up in such a scenario. And so it was nice to be in Kyiv and have, you know, a relatively, you know, calm, you know, to know that we are pretty well protected in this city from those Patriot missiles, the Patriot air defense missiles from the U.S. But that city of Chernihiv, a two-hour drive northeast of Kyiv, closer to the Russian and Belarusian borders, is not protected in the way Kyiv is. It's an ancient city. It was founded before the year 900 A.D., and it's a beautiful place. It was surrounded by the Russians in the very beginning of the full-scale invasion, and then the people of the city and the Ukrainian armed forces were able to push the Russians back. But it's a city that has seen a lot of trauma and difficulty. And then this morning, just absolutely horrible scenes in the center of the city. And we can play a little clip. If you're driving or something, maybe turn the volume down on your radio a little bit. But you can hear what happened this morning. And the Russians sent a missile. And there's a video that we're going to listen to the audio of. You can see people, mainly women, standing at a bus stop. And they're looking at the scene of the first missile strike, which is pretty close to them. You see smoke and fire. And then as they're looking, all of a sudden you hear this awful sound flying overhead. That's the next missile incoming. And the people waiting for the bus, they kind of freeze for a second, and then they all crouch down on the ground. So there's like a second of hesitation, and then they know what to do. And so that's picture that scene as we listen to this little video. I'm sorry, this little audio. Here, and just be mindful if you're driving, don't get shocked too much by the noise.
You know, as frightening as it is to hear that sound, I watched that video, and it's terrifying. We'll get that posted if you go to our website, WGNRadio.com. And that reminds me, Joseph, you talk so much about the Great Spirit. No matter what happens, no matter how scary it gets there, the Ukrainian people are just unbelievable. One military expert was talking about what he thinks may be Russia's strategic objective, and it could be, he said, simply to crush Ukraine's fighting spirit and then convince the West that the war is a lost cause. He thinks the Russian objective is to try to generate a sense of hopelessness. And from what you report here, it doesn't seem to be working, at least not that part, does it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly people are tired, but there's not a sense of hopelessness, and that's why I'm so often in Kharkiv City, which, you know, to me is sort of the capital of resistance, so close there to Russia and so often attacked. But no, there people are continue to work for victory, to boost each other's spirits in the dark times. I mean, it's obviously extremely tough. I mean, for example, yesterday, President Zelensky signed into law the new mobilization law, which is an effort to get something like 500,000 more Ukrainians into the armed forces. Everyone who's not currently in the military is deeply feeling, you know, how life is going to change dramatically. And this is because Ukraine knows that they're not receiving support from the West, and they're going to have to get more and more soldiers in the military. There are very heavy losses at the front. So this is it's difficult, and it's because they know they're not receiving what they need to receive. So they have to find other measures in other ways. And meanwhile, yesterday I was speaking with some friends here in the army, and they were talking about the stories that get completely missed. Like, I'm talking with people who are building technology to help Ukrainians safely communicate with their fellow citizens who live in occupied Russian territories. This is a story that really doesn't get told because it's hard to get that information. But there are people who live in daily hell because they live under Russian occupation. They have to hide. You know, they spend as little time outside as possible. They can't speak Ukrainian in public. They can't go to church. This is the reality for so many who are in currently occupied places. And then, of course, there's the story of the children who've been kidnapped. There are many people, you know, working to alleviate that problem, but that's still, it's a horrible thing. And then, you know, you remember from last June when the Russians blew up that Novokakhovka Dam in southern Ukraine. You know, so much of that land is still a wasteland. Even I forget about it. And I was talking with people from that region what used to be a reservoir still to this day looks like a desert. And I had assumed that, you know, the water had been replenished, but it hasn't. And so there are deep scars, not only in the souls here, but also in the land. And this is, these are extremely heavy and difficult days.
Let me leave you with a text from one of our listeners. It sounds like you need a little bit of a lift today, Joseph. This was in response to somebody complaining about your heavy-handed criticism of the United States government. Bob, the text message that you read complaining about Joseph started out by saying, tell Joseph to lighten up. Seriously, that man could have said what he wanted to have said without saying lighten up. That country is in war. Has that man ever been in a war? Joseph sees all around him the destruction of war with buildings and with people. Shame on that texter. Just want you to know that, we're with you here, Joe.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'll let that letter speak for itself. And this is, you see, you know, Ukrainians don't feel abandoned because you have so many. I see this in Kyiv. So many people from all around the world here to help, both, you know, physically here and those from far away who do everything they can to stand with Ukraine in this fight. And that gives people so much encouragement here.
Keep the faith. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Joe.
Until tomorrow. Thank you.